kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us whatever we do. Whatever we do, he has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome to the live broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 23rd of August. My name is David Stovenel. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. For you new listeners, this is a very important website to visit. There are daily articles placed up there that literally are very hard to find on any other websites, and I mean that. For example, one of the articles posted today is titled Sexual Perversion in New Zealand Schools Now Includes Christian Schools. Each and every person should read that article so that you can see not only by what is called positivism, where there is open aggression against Christians and Christianity, but what is called negativism, which is when someone does not do something or quietly removes something that is right and righteous from a mission statement or an agenda. And that article reveals that very carefully and very succinctly. Other articles, rescuers threatened with 11-year prison sentence. This is the level of tyranny that is taking place, and many people are not as enthusiastic about defending the innocent from the guilty, from the gangsters that want to kill and steal and destroy. Once again, that article is titled Rescuers Threatened with 11-Year Prison Sentence. A very important article. There are videos up there. These are not just videos that someone else has placed at the top of their list. I encourage everyone to go there, genuinechristianitynow.com. It, of course, is expensive to keep a website, to build a website, and to keep it maintained. So there's a donate button for anyone that would care to donate. Once again, genuinechristianitynow.com. We're going through the book of Ecclesiastes. This particular broadcast is titled Solomon and the Book of Ecclesiastes, Part 6. The entire effort that I'm making is called Operation Restore Christian America. A restoration is not a spectator sport or something like that where you pay for your ticket and go watch the game. This requires the participation of all right-meaning and well-meaning and good-meaning people that have hope for the future. Because if the people, the destroyers have their way, they will erase all Christians, all people that are sympathetic with Christians in any way, and all of the great history of Christianity through cancel culture and censorship. So we'll get right to it. But first, reflecting back on what was read in chapter 4, so that you can get another sense of the importance of going through Ecclesiastes on your own, because this is advice. This isn't a commandment of God. This is advice that is profound advice. When you are attacked, or feel you're under attack, because your feelings do matter. If you feel that you're being insulted by what you consider friend or foe, it's important that you determine whether that's true or not, first of all. And how to go about that is rather complicated when you are isolated, when you decide that you're a rugged individual and no one is going to touch you and you will touch no one. And anyway, so I'm going to reiterate in chapter 4 just a few verses here. Starting at chapter 9 through verse 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12 is the key here. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, verse 11, as a pervert could twist that into a separate meaning from a man that is under siege in one way or another, whether it's a legal attack or a physical attack or whatever. But this is, when scripture is read in context, the key point is that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I've been advocating for years that Christians are under fierce attack and fierce siege and should form into three-man teams for their activities, whether it be at work or at casual events, but without becoming totally dependent, obviously, but nevertheless, to learn how to work in small teams and defend from attacks in small teams. Anyway, going to the chapter that I'm reading now is chapter 6 in the book of Ecclesiastes. Incidentally, and a digression, total digression here. We're still setting this broadcast up. And there have been technical difficulties, and I want to apologize to those that have called in and have not gotten on air. It was definitely not intentional. It's a matter of our technical fine-tuning, and we think that we have resolved that to where I will be alerted in a timely manner, and you will be brought up on air as briefly as possible after I'm informed that you do call in. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. So here's Ecclesiastes chapter 6, the most pure form of reading the scriptures, or of prayer is reading the scriptures. These two verses address how wicked socialism is. Chapter 6. Verse 1, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? I'm moving on to read chapter 7 as well, and possibly chapter 8, because this is so succinct and I want to keep the context. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause of the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also, from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom, and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness, and I find more bitter than death the woman, whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one, to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And that's the end of chapter 7 in the book of Ecclesiastes. Much is said within those two chapters. And of course, this is before the advent, before the birth and ministry and the torture and death, the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. So I'm moving on to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, carrying on from last week. And I would like to digress for a moment and just describe something about myself. When there is a brief pause, it's because I have some difficulty with my breathing. I've not ever had coronavirus, and so that's not the issue. But in the past, I had a severe accident where I ended up with a pulmonary embolism on my lungs, and I was hospitalized for over a month. So my breathing gets labored if I read too much. I'm not cut out for radio, but I'm doing the best I can to bring forward information that is very difficult to find, and very few people read from the scriptures anymore at all. So I try to set the foundation by reading the scriptures and then go on to another subject matter. The subject matter I'm going on to after I finish reading chapter 6 in the Gospel of John is a case I won at court, which should be interesting and instructive for anyone, far less important than the Word of God. The King James Version Bible is what I'm reading from, and I hope other people focus on that, because there are a lot of perversions of the scriptures now that were deliberately perverted by socialists, primarily Westcott and Hort, but others as well. So anyway, when there's a pause, it means that I have to catch my breath. I have to take a couple of deep breaths before I can continue. So anyway, on to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come up unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saying unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. Save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. That is chapter 6 in the Gospel of John. Praise be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. And the true words in the KJV Bible. The call and number about whatever's on your heart, first of all, primarily, about the scripture that I've read today, and about what I'm about to bring to your attention, a court case that I won. The call and number 608-433-9306. Now, this was not an overly complicated case because there was no property damage and there was no injury to anyone. I'll try to describe this situation. I had a man that was working for me at the time, and he didn't have a vehicle, so I had to take him home after work. Someone had dropped him off at my property. And I didn't have a vehicle at the time that had been registered and had a license plate on it. And he lived in a neighboring state of Iowa. So, excuse me. So I proceeded to take him home and was stopped in this small town named Lansing, Iowa. And the county seat of Lansing, Iowa is Waukon, Iowa, W-A-U-K-O-N, Waukon, Iowa. So previous to this event, I had approached not only the chief of police of Lansing, Iowa, but I had attended one of their city board meetings where I brought to their attention and I displayed documents regarding an issue that involves national security interests. So the chief of police, his name at the time was Ed Stahl, S-T-A-H-L. He ignored me. In other words, he didn't investigate, which is a crime for not doing his job. That's a punishable crime. It's actually treasonous when it involves a national security issue. So anyway, the cop that pulled me over was not Ed Stahl. It was a man named Rosenthal. I've forgotten his first name. I'll probably mention it as I look through some of these papers. that I have in front of me, it will undoubtedly be somewhere on the on these, or maybe not, because the times they are changing, as that one fellow wrote and sung so long ago. But anyway, his last name was Rosenthal, and telling me that he was going to write me some tickets after he asked me for my driver's license and told me my driver's license was no good. And I said, it's perfectly good. I have not ever had it, or I said it has not been revoked or suspended. And he said, well, you're going to get a ticket for this, and you're going to get a ticket because your vehicle is not registered, and the vehicle is does not have a licensing plate on it, and you do not have proof of insurance. I think that was, it was a total of $1,200-some-odd that he was threatening to write tickets that I would ultimately have to pay if I lost in court. So I said, well, I have documents here that where I'm involved with a national security issue. It's litigation that involves national security, and the chief of police is already aware of this. And he said, well, that doesn't matter at all to me. And I'm paraphrasing this. This is about 10 years ago. Actually, a little over 10 years ago this month. And so he was intransigent about he was going to write tickets and extract my labor from me, because money is a representative of a man's labor. So in other words, he's a road agent trying to rob me under color of law. So I said, well, I'm requesting that the chief of police is brought to this location so that I can reiterate what I've just told you, that I'm working on a case, assisting in a case that involves a national security issue, and he's aware of it. So Ed Stahl was called, and he arrived. And between the two of them, threatened me with taking me to jail immediately or writing me several tickets or four tickets or three tickets. And finally they said, well, we'll write you two tickets, and but you can only take him home and then go home and never drive this vehicle again. And I said, well, it wasn't my intention to drive it at all, but this was a situation that was pretty very unresolvable without doing so. We do not have taxi service in small towns. And so that was the resolution at the point of contact. Well, after that, of course, on a ticket, there's a date to appear at a court hearing. And at the court hearing, I requested a special pretrial hearing. And anyone that is involved with this type of thing, because the system that is in place now is an unconstitutional, anti-American system, and there are two ways of fighting back: pulling a gun on the cops and starting to shoot and then end up getting killed. That is an effective way to fight back. I 100% do not recommend that way to fight back, but there are people that choose to fight back with militant means. The superior way to fight back, the tip of the spear way to fight back, is to learn enough about the Constitution, about the laws that are in place, that involve your particular situation, the statutes that are in place. Statutes are, of course, subordinate and must support and defend the Constitution or they are null. So anyway, there are two essential ways, and there are, obviously, there are other moronic ways, like running to another country or another state and hiding and all this nonsense. But nevertheless, to be a man about things, you must stand up against tyranny at its source. And the source in this nation is what has been propagandized into the mind of everyone in this country as the weakest department of the United States government. In other words, the judicial branch, the judicial department, is the strongest. The judicial branch is rightly described by people that are deep thinkers as a coterie of people that express their opinion on behalf of the powerful. In other words, it's a perversion of justice that is perverted on behalf of the powerful, that put them in their seats on the Supreme Court in the first place through every kind of devious means available. So anyway, I'm interested in anyone that has something. Have you gotten a speeding ticket lately? Have you gotten a traffic signal, your traffic signal, your right-hand turn light is burnt out and you got a ticket and you're going to have to pay $350 or something because it's all nonsense? Anyway, regarding this special hearing, this is a statement for the special hearing after I requested that at the initial appearance, and it was obviously granted. Here's the statement that I typed out and sent to Honorable Justice Barry Mueller, case number 01031, STA 00006609. Here is the statement regarding the special hearing set for Wednesday, 7 August 2013. As you will undoubtedly remember, at the initial hearing, I said that I do not consider myself to be in an adversarial position against the court, the state of Iowa, and or any government officials, but that I do understand the court system requires adversarial positions and argumentation. Also, at the initial hearing, I brought it to your attention that my point of view is that the event troubled both of us and that there were many other things to do that are more pleasant than attending court hearings. Most judges and lawyers would obviously agree. The first subject matter item on the order dated July 10, 2013 is, number one, that the defendant is being subjected to institutionalized discrimination. I have a page from official records that will reveal the origin as to the date and place when I was forcibly injected with mind and mood altering chemical substance, thusly damaged by the state. And the document also reveals that this state crime under color of medical care was perpetrated as I was verbally objecting to this vicious and unnecessary criminal attack. Furthermore, the perpetrator of this criminal activity also slandered and defamed me by attaching to official records that I allegedly had/have one of the most severe forms of mental illness that the perpetrator, aka quote-unquote doctor, could possibly accuse me of having. I bring this to your attention only for the purpose of understanding that I have a diminished capacity to function compared to other people in my peer group, and not as an excuse for behavior. Therefore, my litigation skills leave much to be desired because of my slow brain. The second item on the same order is, the defendant argues that the court does not have jurisdiction to hear this case, but must be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court under the federal constitution. Article 3, Section 1 and Article 3, Section 2 overwhelmingly indicate the proper original jurisdiction for this case. The third item on the same order is, number 3, that there are national security concerns that the defendant has due to matters he is involved with at this time. Documents will be presented that prove a legislative identity theft of the words United States and President has been perpetrated and is an ongoing crime in progress that we must arrest. The same documents also prove that the identity thieves legislatively stole the official seal from our national Congress by using an extremely subtle activity known as judicial notice that is the province of the judiciary and explicitly forbidden from use by the legislature. This was typed and sent Tuesday, August 6, 2013. Thank you for scheduling this special hearing. I remain now, as always, for truth, justice, and the American way, Mr. David Stovenel. Well, that is the end of my statement for special hearing. And it is interesting that at the next appearance, all charges were dismissed, and the expense for the events, for the number of communications and the number of appearances were assumed by the state of Iowa. So if any of you care to look into how to defend yourself more effectively from tyranny, stop drinking so much, stop using illicit drugs. And I want to say something about drugs here. And I want to say that on behalf of myself. And I want to say that on behalf of every other, primarily man, because it was primarily men, but there were also a few women, that were wounded in action at war, while at war. And for most of those people, men primarily, drugs saved their lives when those drugs were properly utilized and properly applied. So I'm not some Looney Tune that does not think that there is never a place for the utilization of drugs and the proper application of the use of drugs. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. I'll go into greater detail about my court case. I'll read some of the motions, communications, and et cetera, Friday. Because, quite frankly, my case now is precedent it's precedent that can be used by anyone to defend themselves against tyranny. But they have to know what they're talking about. They have to know what they're doing. And once again, this was this transpired at the Alma Key County. This is in Waukon, Iowa, was where these court appearances and these communications transpired from, originated from, basically. Well, Lansing, Iowa was the original action. So anyway, once again, just as a reminder for those that would like to fact check the legitimacy of what I'm saying here, the case number is 01031-STA-000-6610, and there is a gap between 01031 and the rest of it. Citation number was 000441, and the date was 5-9-2013. That would be May 9th, 2013. For those of you that are independent investigative journalists or mainstream media that really cares about the collapse of this country or the restoration of a dignified society again that respects established government that is legitimate as opposed to the tyranny that is attempting to be imposed on all of us now. And the phone number at the Alma Key County Clerk of Court, to make it easy for you, if you care to request a copy of these documents I'm describing here, is 563-568-6351. And once again, my name is David Stovenel. My last name, I'll spell it because they'll want specifics on this. S-T-O-U-V-E-N-E-L. David Stovenel, case number 01031. Alma Key County Clerk of Court is the place to request these documents that can be utilized because this is precedent when it comes to road agents shaking you down for your labor, for extracting your future labor by extracting money that you have at this time into their coffers so they can hire more road agents in order to shake down more people from their labor to get the shakedown racket in high gear, which they pretty much have it because most people have a big problem. And what their big problem is, and I was young once, I'm no longer young, but so I'll admit my grievous faults from my youth, is I liked entertainment. I liked to go to events, whether it was a concert or whether it was a BMX race where the little boys run around on these BMX tracks, which were fascinating to go to, or swimming, or I've been to 2 drag races in my life. The real definition of the word drag, where 2 vehicles line up mano a mano and away they go. Oh, excuse me, Shirley Meldowney was a racer too, so it has to be men or women, of course, because, you know, PC just destroys everything that has to do with manhood and a real man speaking out against tyranny. So anyway, you're listening to a real man that's speaking out against tyranny, and I do thank you for listening in, and you don't have to be shy about calling in and inquiring about what you should do if someone tries to shake you down in the future, because forearmed, being forearmed is important. When you're forearmed with the knowledge of the truth and how to defend yourself from aggressors, whether they be inside the government or outside, or worse yet, fascists that are PPPs, that's fascism. The blending together of the personal with the political, the inside the government and the outside the government, and the gangsters in the center of that, tying all of that into knots where there is no personal Christian liberty anymore, to where you think things through and then you win. You think things through, you pray it up, you ask God for guidance. First of all, you confess your sins to God and ask him humbly for forgiveness and ask him to provide you with the wisdom to know how to proceed with humility. It's necessary that the American people get over their arrogance, and nothing causes arrogance more than Lucifer worship. Satanism, globalism. They're the most arrogant people ever. So comprehending and understanding that, it's important, it's necessary to not become like them. In other words, don't toot your horn about winning a court case over some traffic citations and being threatened with being put in jail again primarily because I'm standing against the tyranny at its core. When these slimy identity thieves stole power away from Congress in a very subtle manner that to this day almost no one is aware of. But I did tell, I went to Madison and I told a representative of the Attorney General over there at the time in 2009, J.B. Van Hollen, the high-ranking Freemason in Wisconsin, one of his representatives, and my representative from my district here. And we were surrounded by police because, of course, if somebody that is not in the government goes in a government office, you have to be surrounded by police to show who's boss, right? So I provided them with documents about the satanic identity theft of the word, primarily the word president, because you think that some doddering joker that is a dishonest little man is the president, and that has not been stolen. In other words, the power of that office has not also been lifted in that particular legislation, which I'll get to later. I'll be talking about all this. Our team knows what we're talking about, and this prosecution of these identity thieves is ongoing. Some of them have already died of old age. They haven't died at the hands of killers, though, like they have all turned into by proxy primarily. For some reason, they get this Schadenfreudian boost in their ego whenever they are able to manipulate a mass murder like the one going on primarily in Ukraine now, if you haven't noticed. It's primarily in Ukraine with two opposing teams, you know, the Russians and the Ukrainians. That all would be eliminated if the power of the president was in the hands of the president, returned there, and the power of Congress was in the hands of Congress. I have to wrap it up now. This is GenuineChristianityNow.com is the website. This is Operation Restore Christian America. Thank you, one and all, for listening in. Be back Friday.